I'm Andrea Hope, and this is To Mother.
Episode 7, the ninth day of Rizwan. Rizwan Resources. Hi, I'm Andrea Hope, a Baha'i mom and poet, and this is my podcast where I share reflections on parenting with purpose in the modern world. I share some quotes from the Baha'i writings that inspire me, some practical tips and resources, and sometimes my poetry. Today, I'm going to be talking about the ninth day of Rizwan because that's coming up soon and we've already had the first day of Rizwan. Before I start, I just want to say that I'm really tired. I'm really just feeling so tired today. I'm mostly tired because we have two kids under two and it's really difficult for me to breastfeed and take care of our one and a half year old. Breastfeeding takes a lot of energy out of me. One of my struggles is that I don't have a strong appetite, so I tend to not eat a lot in general, and then when I'm breastfeeding, I need to eat more, but I don't feel hungry. I just know that I need to eat more because if I don't, I feel weak or I get dizzy or something like that. But it's not that I'm actually feeling like, oh, I'm hungry, I want to eat so much. But so that's part of the reason. But I think, yeah, just in general with the lockdown, I realize I'm one of these people who gets overloaded easily. Like, I'm very emotional, sensitive, empathetic person. If I can say that about myself just from my experience, sometimes people in my life would be like, why are you crying? You have nothing to cry about. Your life is fine. But it was really crying from empathy. Like, I would just see what was going on in the world and sometimes feel helpless and want to be able to contribute to, like, a better world. And now I know that I can do that through the faith and through my daily actions. But I still sometimes can get overloaded with the emotional weight of that. And so I have to be careful about interacting too much with the news or with my news feed. And so part of the tiredness is just I don't feel personally too distraught about everything. But I'm not in the hospitals. I'm not on the front line. I'm not in a government having to make those tough decisions about what to do and how to do it. So in my day-to-day life, I am not feeling that kind of weight and struggle. But I recognize that other humans are feeling that and I feel connected to them. And sometimes I can feel guilt that, like, oh man, right now someone is going through something really traumatic that I would have a very difficult time handling emotionally. And I get to sit here with my children, which is also stressful at times, of course. A lot of times right now because we're inside so much. But yeah, I can sometimes just feel like, oh man, I wish that I could do more. I wish I was in a financial position and in an emotional position and in a position of influence that I could do more. But I'm trying to do what I can from the talents that God has given me and the circumstances that God has given me and that I've also worked for in my own life. And so I felt like I just wanted to share this because in my life, I've always come off as a really happy, bubbly person, and I am. But I also have these moments where I'm really overwhelmed too. And I think it's important for me to acknowledge that and for all of us to feel okay with that. For a while as an adult, I felt that I would get to a certain point where I wouldn't even be thinking about these things. And I think when I was reading the Baha'i writings and reading like about the seven valleys and things like that, I thought, oh, okay, I'm gonna like step over a certain threshold of like humility or patience or love for people or detachment where I can no longer be tested. Like, I'll live in that reality. And as I've gotten older, I realize, at least for me, I don't know about everyone, but at least for me and my human experience, I'm probably never going to get to that place where I'm not affected by things. So the best that I can do is to acknowledge when I am affected by it and then recenter myself, but not to expect myself to, oh, well, why do I feel tired in the first place? Or why do I feel pain? Or why do I feel guilt? Or why do I feel these things in the first place? Those things, I've learned that I have to accept them and then say, okay, from this place, what can I do? And so that's just my personal experience. And my avenue has generally been children and the arts. So although I would like to, in a more direct way, alleviate suffering for people, maybe I would like to be the one to go to someone's house and deliver things that they need, or I would like to be the one who can offer money and offer whatever kind of support to people who are low income or homeless and who are dealing with this lockdown and like on a day-to-day basis wondering how they're going to pay their bills. Like we're wondering how we're going to pay our bills like on a month-to-month basis, but there are people who are on a day-to-day basis thinking about this. I have a friend in Tanzania who told me that, you know, there are people who get paid that day and they use that money to buy their dinner, so they can't shut down certain things because there's just no way you would eat that night. And there's places in the United States where they're talking about how children get their meal at school, and so some schools were staying open just to provide meals and things like that. So obviously, you know, there's a lot going on, and this pandemic is bringing to the surface a lot of issues. I won't say new issues, I would say issues that have been maybe ignored or minimized that are more like at the forefront. And that's a great thing. And I hope that we learn from that. But yeah, there's ways that we are all able to contribute. And I hope that we just try to contribute to the best of our ability. And I've tried to do that through poetry and through the arts and through my connection with children. And on a happier note, something that brought me joy in this tiredness is that I usually try to prepare something for my niece and nephew and our Baha'i community for the holy days, but it's been like really hectic. And of course, the whole community isn't getting together. We're just getting together as a family. And so my sister-in-law, I like to call her my sister-in-law instead of sister-in-law because I really dislike this idea of like, oh, we're only connected because of the law. But anyway, so she was like, oh, when you come over, because we were coming over for something else, do you want to maybe try and do something with the kids for Rizwan? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. But I was also thinking, okay, I have to do something really simple because I don't have a lot of time and I'm very tired. And so we get over there and I have this little program in my head, and my niece asked us to leave the room. Everyone has to leave the room. And I was like, oh, okay, so what's going on? So she has made 9 roses and she's going to hide them around the living room, and then we have to come in and find them. And so she had planned this Rizwan activity, and that's just cute in itself. But the thing that makes this story really heartwarming is that the year before, that was the activity that I had for the kids, was that I made these roses and I hid them around the person's house that we were at, and then they had a rose hunt, and they, I think we had 19 because I wanted to challenge them. But yeah, it was just so sweet. And I said, oh, so then maybe this could be our Rizwan tradition, that every year one of us like makes the roses and hides them and the rest of us find them. And she did such a good job of hiding them. Like, yeah, it wasn't easy to find them at the end there. I was just like, where are these roses? But yeah, that was just so heartwarming that she remembered that, and then she wanted to do it for us, you know. And so we did that. And then the other thing we did that was just super simple was I just brought my hot glue gun and a piece of cardboard. And I asked that we, just using things that were around the house, make the Garden of Rizwan. So I really didn't do much preparation at all for that. I just brought the story. We read some prayers at the beginning. I read the story and it was translated by my husband. And then we had to have a garden and it had to have 4 elements. So grass, the Tigris River, roses, and Baha'u'llah's tent. So it was something that, you know, wasn't refined art at all, but it was something that was joyful. It was something that they could really take ownership of and that we could do together. And I really enjoyed that. And I realized the kind of art that I tend to do that's with children is kind of this more, what do you have in your house available to you? And how can you use that and make something beautiful? Because it is great to have these templates and things like that. I think that's wonderful. But sometimes for me, because I'm more of a minimalist personality, I get stressed about, okay, what am I going to do with this afterwards? So I think it's helpful for me to be like, okay, we're just going to use cardboard from the recycling bin, and we're going to use this bubble wrap, or we're going to use, you know, like we're just going to use things around our house. And then when we're done with it, we haven't added anything to what we've already had most of the time. So yeah, that's my cute story that was heartwarming for me. And because I talked about what the meaning of Rizwan is last episode, and I found so many great resources for Rizwan, I thought, okay, I'm just going to focus on just given off a list of resources because it's almost the ninth day of Ramadan, and then on the 12th day, obviously, I can't because it's too late to use them by then. And because 12 days of Ramadan, I'm going to give 12 resources. And I'm not rating these in any way. One of the beautiful things about art is that different things appeal to different people. So how I came up with this list is I really just tried to look at resources that were focused on children and families. So the first thing, as I mentioned, I read part of a story about the Declaration in the Garden of Ramadan from Brilliant Star. So you could go to Brilliant Star magazine, their online, their website, and I'll leave all of the links for these things in the show notes. So it's going to be a lot of links, but at least you'll have all the resources in one place. But yeah, so you could go on their website because they have this part of the website called Luminous Library where you could just look for that page about the Declaration from their past issues. Or there's a book with the stories of Baha'u'llah, and that's where I found it because I have the book. Again, it might be easier to use the website also because it would take some time to get the book and you might not have the time. So it might be something that you order now, but then in the meantime, you just print from the website or read from the website. The second thing is a video by a lady named Patty Tomarelli, and she tells the story, this like fictional story of Maggie and Freddie Investigate Ramadan. And so it's a children's story starring this little girl named Maggie. It's from like a series. And in this one, her and her brother Freddie are discussing the meaning of Ramadan. And then the next one is How to Make a Rose for Ramadan, which is a video that's available through a Baha'i blog on YouTube. So it's a craft. Number four is a video by Brie Vader, and it's the story of Ramadan, and her family created this beautiful craft garden. Now, I was talking about how we made this garden of just things that you could find around the house. Their garden is like on the opposite end of that spectrum. Both for joyful activities, both have their place, but let me just tell you, they made this beautiful Ramadan garden, and then one of them is narrating the story of the Garden of Ramadan, and there's also some quotes from Baha'u'llah. Number five is the Belize Baha'is have put up a video. It wasn't this year. It was a while back, but it was at the International Convention. So they had delegates say Happy Ramadan in different languages, so to give Ramadan greetings. And so I just thought that would be interesting for family and children. Number six is a song called Ramadan by Diana Howlett, and that's also available on YouTube. Number seven is the Ramadan is Everywhere program. So I was invited by some friends in the Los Angeles Baha'i community to contribute children's programming to the Ramadan is Everywhere program. And so you'll see a little clip of me in there. So number eight is the Garden of Ramadan, the story of the Festival of Ramadan for Young Children. And this is by Alhan Rahimi. Again, this is a resource where it might be a little late to order it now. You can try. Maybe you can get it shipped quickly. But yeah, it's also available as an ebook. So that's your other option. So if you want to order the book and then you say, okay, just in case it doesn't get here in time, you know that you have a backup. Number nine is the song In the Garden of Ramadan. That is available on Ruhi.org, and you can also find videos of it on YouTube. So there's a video by Maha Eskandar. It's called In the Garden of Ramadan, but you probably know it as Roses, Roses, because that's what I thought the name of it was, because it's the roses, roses everywhere, as far as the eye can see. So just a reminder that that song's out there, and you can download it for free from the Ruhi website. Number 10 is an article from Baha'i Blog that's called Seven Ways to Celebrate the Festival of Ramadan at Home. And you would think from that title that this has to do with the time that we're living in right now, but it's actually an article from 2017. But I just think it's kind of interesting that, you know, it can very much be helpful here where you're doing most of your celebrating or all of your celebrating at home. Then number 11, I've grouped a lot of things together that are all falling within this resource, which is coloring pages. So I have seen a lot of offers from people of free coloring pages that have to do with Ramadan. Most of them are different kinds of roses, and I'll try to link a few of them. I'm sure it won't be all of them. So for 12, my last one is actually a song, but the reason that I put it last, even though I moved on to coloring pages, is because I have permission to play it. So it's something that we're gonna be ending with. Before we end, I wanted to say, I said that I was going to tell the story of the roses, but I tell the story of the roses in this video, Rizwan is Everywhere. So I'm going to let you go ahead and hear it there in the context of that wonderful program. And I also have a video on YouTube where I tell the story. I'm trying to work on getting the video done a little bit more professionally. But I have a video on YouTube where I tell that story. And so I'm going to end, because I have permission from Haley, Meryl Fadu, to play her Rizwan song. And there's a great video of her singing it with her children. But for now, I'm just going to play the audio of the song. Let us end with this joyful Rizwan song, and happy Rizwan, and much light and love to you.
Let's sing a song about Rizwan in this garden. His mission was shown
Mother is an individual initiative and provides only the personal reflections and insights of its creator. That's me. For more information about the Baha'i Faith, including access to the official writings and contacts for Baha'is in your community, please visit Baha'i.org.